You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Once Upon a Time After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Once Upon a Time After Show.
Hello, Onesters, and welcome to AfterBuzz TV's Once Upon a Time After Show. This is Season 3, Episode 16, Jolly Roger. It was a great episode. Yep. I am Akoi Takei, and next to me is a very special guest, Mark Donica.
I'm very special.
Very special. And we're not talking wrestling.
No, it's so weird. I've been here for the past week, like almost every day talking about wrestling, and I'm happy I get to talk about once.
Yes, I'm so excited to have you on the panel. A man's perspective will be nice. Tiana and Kathy are out and about having fun, whatever they're doing. They're missing out
but
on a
I'm
great
also
episode.
Here.
And Marissa's here. She's tag teaming herself
in again.
Ones and twos. So thank you, Marissa, for being here.
Of course.
All right, guys. So this episode, excuse me if I miss a lot of things going on because there's so much going on.
Yeah.
And that's what you're here for. Mm-hmm. That's what Marissa's here for. Let's start with the opening. We are in the past, about 9 months before present day Storybrooke. Hook, who we don't know is Hook, is dressed up as a knight, and he and Shmi and his crew are out to get some gold, and it is revealed that it's Hook, and they run off and they get their gold. Then they go celebrate at the bar, and they want to prize Hook with a lady. I guess you can say.
For what purpose, Kaori?
What ladies do.
Oh, okay.
And what men like to do.
That was
ladies.
The one thing I was confused on. The whole thing just, what was she? Were they going to like play checkers?
I'm surprised they went that route with this family-oriented show. I'm like, oh, they're going really adult right now.
And that kind of just shows how dirty, I guess, quote-unquote dirty, Hook's lifestyle is, or mm-hmm. pirate's
Once
life
was.
Is. Once was.
Yeah, because the crew wasn't there during Neverland to see all of his right doings.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So he goes in the back or through the back door with this woman, this wench, and he gives her money and tells her to leave very kindly.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was good form on Hook's part. Mm-hmm.
Which shows that what? I was surprised he did that. Good form, but it shows that he's not as bad as a pirate as he should be.
I mean, that's one of the central themes.
Mm-hmm. And that's something we're going to go along with throughout the whole episode.
And it just goes to show, because this is assumingly after everything that has already happened in Storybrooke, and Hook still has his memories intact. Mm-hmm. So it just goes to show, like, his character development and how much he's grown, that he's taken the higher route. Mm-hmm. And then he's deciding not to sleep with Ariel.
Which is a huge surprise. And in comes Ariel with a dagger that belongs to Blackbeard.
No.
Which we don't figure out till later. But it is Blackbeard's dagger. And Ariel is initially convinced that Hook knows where Eric is. Yep. And she says yes, because he is on the Jolly Roger. And Hook says, the Jolly Roger?
That miffs him right off.
Right. Because that's his boat. That's his baby. And he wants to find and reunite with the Jolly Roger. And so he decides, look, I am going to go get my boat back from the Jolly... from the Jolly Roger. From...
from Blackbeard.
Blackbeard.
So that happens.
No, I was excited.
That was exciting. He gets his crew. The crew gets all excited. And Ariel wants to go along with him.
Mm-hmm. I just got to mention, and I tweeted it out earlier, who was ever following, but did you guys catch the line where Smee was like, I kept dreaming about cheese?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
and
cute.
Did you ever watch Buffy?
I was never a Buffy fan.
Okay.
I was, but I don't remember.
I think that was definitely a Buffy reference, because there's an episode in Buffy where they all are dreaming, and they all randomly have a guy who has cheese. And so I think that was just like a subtle Buffy reference in there. And we know the writers of Buffy are also part of Once, too, so.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it got lost because everybody's thinking about Smee being a rat as opposed to
Buffy
reference.
That's what I was thinking, too, as well.
But that's fun.
But yeah.
Yeah, I just had it pointed out. And then also, definitely. I thought it was interesting how we see Ariel in this flashback, and she has legs. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, something is off already. I don't trust Ariel being grounded right now. Because the last time we saw her, she had fins. I mean, she was a mermaid. So what made her be, you know, have legs and walk?
Yeah, it's weird that we didn't get to see that transition.
Yeah.
But it...
I think we kind of got the answer afterwards.
Yeah.
Well, in the fairy tale, she ends up choosing her legs to be with Eric at the very end anyway. So maybe that might have something to do with
it. But that's the thing, is if a mermaid's on land for too long, they kind of, their fin dries up and they get legs to walk on.
Mm-hmm.
But.
And you know this from experience? I'm just kidding.
Yes. Too many mermaids, man. That's what you get from living in California. Seriously,
man.
Move here. You'll know.
With the ocean right there.
Right?
The mermaid life.
Dude, Santa Monica Pier swimming with mermaids. It's weird.
So Hook doesn't want Ariel to come along with his crew.
Bad luck.
Yeah, he says it's bad luck. But Ariel says, yo, you kind of owe me because I'm pretty much the one that gave away where the ship is and who has it.
That's
so
true.
Yeah.
It's like, I gave you something, now give me something in return.
Mm-hmm. Smart girl.
Reciprocity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they're trudging along in the forest, and then they have a moment where Ariel talks about a story that Hook is kind of known to be a hero back in the past, and Hook does not like the idea of actually being a good guy.
No.
What'd you guys think of this?
Well, he's a scallywag. You know, he's back. He's trying to reclaim the life that he once had in a land of people that used to hear his name and kind of shudder.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that kind of a rumor just for a man who's trying to find like his ground and what he thinks he is, that it not only confuses him as to if he's making the right choice in trying to go back to that life or if it's just unavoidable.
He's very upset, though. He does not like any kind of indication that he's a hero or a good guy, because that means that he's no longer a true pirate.
Yeah, a man to be feared.
Yes, and he doesn't like that.
No.
So... anyways, they end up at the Jolly Roger, and I know when we were watching it, Mark had some...
so the reveal of Blackbeard isn't anything, like, too special. It's just like, oh, look, there's Blackbeard. But also, Blackbeard wasn't one to fight. He was a man who loathed fighting and started the rumors about how terrible he was and how many men he's killed so that he didn't have to fight.
Mm-hmm.
So it could have been anybody. They didn't make it. Blackbeard was just like, oh, we know Blackbeard. And even with the Blackbeard that we know from the Pirates of the Caribbean films, which is also a Disney property, we didn't even get sort of that inclination either.
Right. It wasn't a dangerous Blackbeard. It was more like a cameo.
No, it was just a guy. It could have been, they could have named him anything. They could have named him Brownbeard. They could have named him Whitebeard. Because that sounds like a pirate. But Blackbeard has a little bit of weight to it.
Mm-hmm.
But they could have stuck to what made him a pirate. It was weird.
And so you're pretty much saying it's kind of going against character that we're expected that he's kind of like, I shouldn't say pacifist, but someone who tends to opt out of fighting.
Yeah.
But you know what? I didn't really mind that because we got the swashbuckling sword fight, and I think just the fight that goes down really shows Hook's real, you know, he really wants to show that he does have that bad boy pirate reputation, and it's Hook's way of proving that he is still the captain of the Jolly Roger. This is his way of earning his people's respect back.
Well, the way
I agree with that.
The way I see Blackbeard, the way I imagined it was, wow, this pirate's dangerous. This is someone that you don't want to mess with. And once they got onto the Jolly Roger, I was a little disappointed. The fight wasn't very long. There was only two pirates fighting. It was Hook versus Blackbeard. The rest were watching. And rather quickly, Hook did get his sword onto his throat.
And it was a very odd choice when Hook kind of does a turnaround on him and ends up behind him and lets loose the sail and covers up the rest of the guys. They just stand there. It's a piece of cloth weighed down by a piece of wood. If you're worth any salt on a pirate ship, you can lift a piece of wood.
You better.
It was weird that they just kind of like, oh, well, I guess we can't.
But you also have to notice that the cinematography used in this fight scene, that, you know, when they were behind the sail and they were,
they showed the silhouette,
the shadows and the silhouettes, that was probably an ode to the actual Disney version of, you know, when Peter Pan was against Captain Hook, and you can see their shadows. So that was an ode to that.
Mm-hmm. It was really it was weird that it was just so quick, though. I agree.
Well, I mean, I guess it was quick because it wasn't about Blackbeard, and even though he did go through the plank, and he might be dead, he might not be dead.
Yeah,
we never know. Dead. Yeah,
he just fell. You see all that bubbling? Water. That was it.
There's a lot of bubbling, a lot of foam right there.
I think if he was like, if it was a notable guest appearance, then maybe. But the episode wasn't about Blackbeard, and they already have their resident pirate, so they don't necessarily need him to return.
Right.
He did what he was supposed to do, and if we're to believe, we don't need anybody going after Killian if he's dead.
Yeah, well, but I don't think that's the last we'll see of him.
I think what he was here for this particular episode was to make Killian or Hook choose between being a pirate or being a good guy.
Yeah.
And I guess in the past, it doesn't go hand in hand. You're either going to be a good guy or you're going to be a pirate. And he does that by saying, look, I know where Prince Eric is because Ariel wants to find her man. And you can either save me and save Ariel and her man, or kill me and kill Eric as well. And that will prove whether you're deciding to remain a true pirate or you actually went on the good side. And Hook ends up picking his pirate blood.
Yeah, his ship over any sort of helping, which was a little sad to see, but you kind of expected it by the way that everything was going.
Well, it's also because he's been hurt by love so much that he's not sure if he can believe in that enough to salvage the fact that he would lose his pirate ship, in my opinion.
Yeah, a ship can't break your heart unless it's burnt to the bottom of the sea.
So that happens.
Yeah. I think it was also the captain in him, you know, reclaiming his ship back.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But I did feel a tinge of he was disappointed in himself, especially after Ariel slaps him.
Yeah.
And she tells him her whole spiel on how she was wrong about him, he's a jerk, blah, blah, blah. And that moves forward into what happens in the future or the present day.
In the present day.
Yeah. So he made his choice, and I understand why he did it. But do you guys think that if he did good, he wouldn't really be a pirate? Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, if you're a good pirate, you'd be sailing for the queen, and he already gave that life up. There's a way to be a good pirate.
That's what I think.
But he doesn't know that because it's all about pillaging and robbing and all that stuff. You can be a Robin Hood of the sea.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they stole seemingly from the rich. We only saw one of their land thieveries. That's a word. And
it's a good word.
Thievery. he just doesn't know yet that you can still have a life on the sea.
Yeah, and I think it's also him just trying to get back into his pirate ways and building that bad reputation up again. But it's also showing that how much he has changed because he's doing bad decisions now, that because he really is kind of the good guy now, he has that conscience, and then he knows what was right and what was wrong. And then we see him actually remorse after all that he's done, after his actions.
Yeah, and which will lead to what happens in the present. And I really like the fact that this is a past that Hook actually remembers everything. Whereas the rest of his story, Brookians, or we're making up words right now.
The accursed.
They don't remember.
Yeah, I think it's fun to have him having such a crossroads with himself, not knowing which person he wants to be the one responsible for trying to remember every little thing. And I hope we get more sort of looks into the past where somebody shows up in Storybrooke and is that he remembers. The same sort of thing happening, but with somebody somebody else equally as important.
I agree. It was actually really I liked watching this unravel because he knew everything that was going on. He felt uncomfortable when Ariel came in and was asking about Eric because he knew very well that this was kind of a moot point.
And he knew that he screwed up.
Yep. He knew he screwed up. So let's talk about the present. But before we do, we want to thank our viewers and listeners for tuning in onto iTunes and YouTube. So go over there and give us some 5-star ratings or 4 or 3, but try to keep it at 5. That'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be really great.
And some thumbs up.
Yep. Drop some comments. Let us know what you thought of this episode. Tell us what we're missing because there's so many things that are happening. We only saw this show once before we got to get on this panel. We're probably going to watch it again after.
Yeah.
And then we're probably going to keep the conversation going on YouTube or iTunes. So drop us those comments. Let us know what you think and tell us more of your theories because we love to hear them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we are at present day. And the first thing that we see is the Charmings, Prince Charming, Snow, and Emma building a crib.
Or trying to.
Trying to build a crib.
How sweet was that, though?
That was pretty funny.
It was really cute. It felt very just family lifestyle, just chilling. But they are worried about Zelina now. And they decide, well, one, Regina and Emma decide that they're going, Emma's deciding that she's going to train with Regina, which we'll get to, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Margaret and Prince Charming want to hang out with Henry, but then they find out via Emma that Henry might think they're a little boring.
Yeah, they're not fun. We're fun.
Yeah,
that was a great read. I like that a lot.
Henry would much rather hang out with a guy with a hook.
Well, I mean, he doesn't know that he has a hook.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
but that was pretty much Emma's like, how about I have Henry hang out with a fun guy compared to you old grandpas and grandmas. You know?
Yeah,
you need your rest. It's fun. It's real fun.
And it makes sense. I remember when I was a kid, I always would rather hang out with the aunts or the uncle.
The cool uncle, the cool aunt, yeah.
Rather than the grandparents. Grandparents are great if I want something.
But at the same time, it's like they're not super old grandparents. They're essentially the same age as his mom. But
yeah.
I mean, he doesn't know that, of course. Blah, blah, blah. But I mean, the appeal of a pirate versus Prince Charming and Snow White.
And it's a little rough because Henry doesn't know who these people are.
Mm-hmm.
And he still doesn't know who Regina is or his grandparents, who they really are. And right now, Hook is probably the most interesting because he taught him how to sail.
Yeah, he's a regular kid attached to his iPhone playing Space Paranoids. Like,
yep. So Emma goes over to Hook while he's having this conversation with Shmi about the Jolly Roger and how he's in no need to find the ship because he wants to stay here for Emma. And she asks Hook if he can babysit for the afternoon while she trains in magic with Regina. So Hook says yes because he can't say no to her.
Of course not.
Of course not.
It's beautiful.
They're at the coffee shop. And in come the Charmings with Ariel, who was washed up at sea. And they ask him to help find Eric because he probably knows where he is.
He was from a maritime kingdom. He was a sailor. You know, if there's anybody that knew the seas that can remember everything, it's Hook.
Yeah. And Hook, I think they want to go to him because Hook helped them as well, so they had faith that Hook can help her. So they go to Mr. Gold's pawn shop. Aww. Did you say porn shop?
No, pawn.
She said prawn shop.
Prawn, okay, God. So,
but of course it'd be in there.
I know.
Yeah, if there's anything, it would be in Mr. Gold's shop.
And it made me miss Rumple, like normal Rumple.
Yeah.
We didn't see him at all tonight.
We did not see him at all. He was in that cage, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's a shame. He's such a good actor.
He's such a good actor.
Even
such
if
a good
he's not
character.
Here, we're talking about him. I know. He's so good.
Well, that just goes to show how powerful his character is, that even though he physically wasn't in the episode, his presence is still resonating throughout all these stories that are going on.
We got to remind the audience that there are people that Mr. Gold will be here. His shop is still open. Everybody's still here. Don't worry. He'll be back at some point.
Very, very strong character. Very strong shop. Everything around him is strong. So Belle is holding down the fort while he's in captivity. They go to his pawn shop and I was going to say Eric, but Hook finds Prince Eric's cloak
With a beautiful Ursula brooch on it.
Yeah, I saw Ursula, and they called it a sea creature or something.
Like, oh, it's just a sea creature. Very, very standoffish. Just like, you know, you said
Is she a sea urchin or something?
She's an octopus.
Yeah, she's an octopus.
Yeah, she's an octopus.
But, you know, Hook also finds his own telescope.
He does, and then he starts using it for creepy things that we'll get to.
Stalker reasons.
Perfect. I missed you.
So the cloak, they put some. Can you explain this?
It was essentially a finder spell. If you put the potion on it, then it will go directly to
return to its owner.
Yeah, to the person that once held it.
Okay.
So Hook was like, I don't like where this is going because I know where he is, but everybody's like, yay! Because the thing booked it right out of the shop. It was weird, but they followed it to a trail of Eric.
Yes, they followed the cloak. It looks really strange, but
it's like the Invisible Man.
Yeah. They're following the cloak around until the cloak ends up diving.
Yeah, no, it essentially just went to the bottom of the ocean, and they're like, Hope was like, dang it. And Ariel was like, oh, well, that sucks.
Yeah, Ariel was shocked that she realized it was her man is gone.
You know what? I think he's gone. I think maybe he's stuck in one of the underground or like what do we call it? Under the sea kingdoms.
Well, he can't be gone because at the end of the episode, Emma looks in the mirror and they're smiling. And
they're happily ever after. They recreate the shot from the Disney movie.
They totally do. Where she comes great. Out
yeah,
in
and then
blue.
The whole spin that was, and that's great. Mm-hmm. But I think it was more of a like. You would see that and think, oh, he's at the bottom of the sea. But in earlier seasons, when they were going to Neverland, they threw a bean in the ocean and they went into the ocean. Mm-hmm. So it could just be kind of like banging on the wall of the realm, trying to get back into
that's
the world.
That's true.
But they don't know. They don't think about that.
Yeah. So, but we I'm pretty sure he's alive.
Yeah, they have their happily ever after. Yeah.
We just don't know.
I love how once upon a time they immediately always go to death. They're like, oh, Neil's dead.
I must be dead.
Oh, this person's dead. And I'm like, it's kind of sad that they automatically jump to that conclusion. So I don't think Eric's dead.
No.
Choose life.
The cloak was just misguiding or doing something that we don't understand why yet. I'm pretty sure the writers will explain it.
Or even if they don't, we know that they're happy.
Yes, that's true. They are happy. That's all we know.
Yeah.
But, you know, Ariel, even though she's sad, she is grateful for Hook to give her that closure that she knows that Eric is quote-unquote dead.
I know our story's over.
Yes. And she says, you're a good man. You
just
look a
little
hurt.
Daggers through his heart. Well, no, just seeing Hook just be like, God, I'm a jerk.
Yes.
Just seeing that oh, I don't want to, I don't like this.
Yes. Yeah, so he feels guilty because she's telling him what a great guy he is, and he's saying, man, honestly, no, I knew all along that he was gone, and it's probably because of me. So because we saw the past, we know that he has such guilt that this time, present day, he kind of wants to make it right.
Mm-hmm.
So he runs over to Ariel and tells everything, says, look, it's my fault. I knew he was dead, whole spiel, and he's very sad about it. But then Ariel is very upset. She slaps him just like in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, well, if you want to make things right, you swear to me that you're going to make it right with your true love. And then she...
Swear in the name of your true love.
Yep. Swear in the name of your true love. And he says, I swear on Emma Swan. Ariel gets so excited because it's not Ariel.
We see a zap of green magic hit his lips. And you saw me when we were watching. I just... I let the middle fingers fly at the screen. And went, oh, no. Not you.
And it was. It was Zelina. She has put a curse.
A kiss curse, essentially.
A kiss curse. How tragic is that?
Right.
A kiss curse on Hook. So if he kisses Emma, he is going to take away all of her powers, all of its uses, and all of its forms. And that's exactly what she wants Hook to do. And again, just like present day, when Blackbeard gave him a choice, Zelina's giving him a choice. You can either kiss Emma and have her lose all her powers, or not kiss her and then watch everyone around her die.
Mm-hmm. Which, whoa.
It's a terrible ultimatum.
Yeah.
But Hook did figure out that if you wanted to kill her, you could have just killed her. But she can't have her powers in order for you to kill her. So that gives the audience a little bit of hope that he could still kind of
do both.
Let it run a little bit so that she can learn and maybe do something behind her back. But we saw, he didn't tell them right away that that's what was up, which would have been the easiest thing to do.
I did like the twist with Xelena and Ariel near the end of the episode, because we've seen Cora, we've seen Regina do all these, always posing like someone else, and then it was just a matter of time that Xelena was going to do this, and to do it in this episode, I kind of knew it was going to happen, but then, like, when it did happen, again, I was still surprised. But knowing, like, her powers and going up against Regina and seeing that in the past, and I think even Rumple has posed as someone else, too. So it's just seeing Xelena do that, use that power against us as well. It's just like, oh, she's wicked. She needs to go down.
Yeah, I think it was well done. I like the fact that Xelena actually gave Hook the story that Ariel did actually find Eric and that they're living happily ever after. And she
ironic.
Yeah, exactly. How ironic. And now another question arises. Why does Xelena need Emma to be alive?
Or powerless.
Yeah, powerless. But she doesn't want to kill her.
Because, well, she can't kill her because
Emma's
of her
the
power.
Savior.
Yeah, she's the savior. She finds, in a pinch, she will always find a way to overcome evil.
Mm-hmm.
And now with her magic.
And, yeah.
Yes, and let's get to that because, you know, they've been playing around about Emma having all this magic and all this power.
And I called it. I was like, you watch, Regina's going to help Emma train her. And lo and behold, they do it in this episode.
And I love that because Regina and Emma being together, it's just as good as Regina and Rumple's magic, kind of. Or probably better because Emma apparently has just an incredible amount of magic that she has not even touched.
She's got huge potential.
Exactly. And so
for Regina to point that out too, that says a lot about Regina to realize, you know, because she's this very powerful, strong person too. And then to point that out and Emma saying, hey, Emma could be a huge ally and we just need to utilize her magic properly too.
Yeah, and it also shows how much Regina has grown from season two, how she was struggling of having people believe in her and trust her, and now people do, and she's actually helping her who was once her arch nemesis. It's amazing. I really like this unification of Regina training Emma
for good.
And Emma will probably, and this is obviously a prediction, will probably end up being more powerful at some point because the way they're boasting how strong her magic is.
But we also did see when she was talking to Hook, she was talking about she just needs to learn as much as she needs to defeat Xelena, and then she just wants to bolt.
But she might not be able to.
Yeah.
It could be an addiction, as we've seen in Rumple and Regina. They are addicted to that magic, that power. Well, it's a dark power, but
I mean, yeah. But I mean, magic's fun.
Magic's fun.
Two kids' parties.
You gotta show me your magic tricks.
Yeah. I got one, but
so Regina and Emma are in Regina's, I like to say, mausoleum or something.
The crypt? Tomb? Yeah. Tomb's a good word.
Mausoleum.
Yeah. And the first thing that Regina wants to train Emma with is Root of Incantation.
Yeah.
I believe.
Just kind of like the basics.
Very basic. And this stems from just trusting your instinct. So, boom, suddenly they are on. Well, Regina is watching Emma on a bridge. The bridge is slowly and quickly breaking just down.
Breaking out from the outside in.
And Regina says, I will not save you. You need to save yourself. Trust your instincts. Emma falls when the last piece of wood plank drops, and she ends up coming back with a strange.
She just created repair. A floor of
platform
of wood
of the planks and a little bit of the trees. But Regina's face when she dropped was priceless. Just like, oh crap!
Yeah, Regina looks afraid.
I ruined everything.
But then when Emma comes back, Regina says, "I just wanted you to tie the rope again, but that works." And she said she was upset, and she's not upset because Emma kind of messed up.
Didn't listen to her directly.
Yeah, but she didn't. That was fine. She's upset because Emma has all this power that she let go to waste up
over
until here.
Yeah, but if you think about it, Emma has really only known about her power for almost 2 years. Mm-hmm. So, that's not really her fault. But I think I loved how they showed the strength of her power and just, keep training and how much it will grow throughout the seasons. Mm-hmm. I think that'll be fun to, look forward to watching her magic grow. But also, before we even go to the bridge scene, when they were opening, they were reading the book, the incantation. Did they say it was Elvish language?
Half Elvish. I said it was half Elvish.
Half Elvish.
I would love to see elves.
That made me think Lord of the Rings.
Oh, me instantly too. Just like, the Tolkien estate is hard to make any sort of a contract with, but since they kind of have an agreement with Warner Brothers, I wonder if Disney could swing it.
I don't know how they would fill that in.
I think that's why they did half Elvish, because here's the nerd in me, adjust glasses. It literally looked like half Elvish. Like it looked like they took the Elvish from Lord of the Rings and they kind of like just tweaked it a little bit. So it's like, okay, we're not infringing on any sort of copyright.
But it's just such a Lord of the Rings is such a different world, and it's their own world.
So I wouldn't Frankenstein.
Know even how they would fuse that. Right, but they somehow managed to say science versus magic.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, they are mythical realms. So it's not that far
Lord
from
of the Rings is real.
To like tap into the Lord of the Rings territory as well.
Well, I mean, they've been teasing Tron for years, and I'm still waiting for them to show up on the grid, but that's just me.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It might come up sooner or later. There's also rumors of some Avengers popping by or something like that.
Don't do that to me.
I know. But listen, it could happen. Maybe. We dream.
Yeah, we can dream.
All right. So that's not the only thing we see that Emma performs as magic. We also see when Hook comes in to talk about what happened with...
What he was doing all day with Ariel.
Yeah. Instead of fessing up... By the way, instead of fessing up to Regina and Emma, dude, Zelina is out to get you girls.
Don't kiss me.
This is what happens. He just doesn't say anything. And maybe it's because he's afraid, but I thought, oh man, by not communicating something like that, that's going to cause a lot more problems.
So, like, you could have masked it by just being like, any word from Zelina? Like, have you seen Zelina around town at all? Because there are problems.
Yeah.
Like, just anything, but just being like, yeah, no, had a great time. That seems a little bit more suspect than just being like, yeah, we had a great time. And like,
yeah,
he seemed more standoffish doing that, and I don't know if I'm looking too into it, but it looked like Regina might be like, he's probably up to some bull.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was going to say that. Regina looked like, wait,
like, I've made you lie before. I know when you lie.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that was also just Hook's way of just trying to generally protect Swan and her, her safety.
Swan and her flock.
Yeah.
Well, so he comes in and he talks about his day with Ariel, and he says, yeah, Ariel is fine with Eric, because that's what he heard from Zelina. So
he's probably swimming back. She swam back as soon as she found out. Mm-hmm. So she's probably already there.
They're going to try mirror magic to see if it's really what's happening. And Regina can't perform it, but quickly Emma learns how to do it. And that's when we see the Disney scene.
Which is adorable.
It was really, really cute. And that was Emma's. She performed two magic tricks.
Magic spells
sounds better. Yeah, magic spells in this episode. And then the Charmings come in with Henry. Or was Henry there?
No, Henry came in with them. Yeah.
Okay. They come in with Henry, and Henry is all excited because suddenly spending time with his grandparents, who he doesn't know are his grandparents, was exciting and fun because they taught him how to drive, though they kind of had some road problems, including a mailbox.
Right. Yeah. By far the funniest moment in this episode.
Yeah.
I liked how they had the lighthearted moments in this episode.
Yeah, it helped space it out and kind of give you a breath about, like, trying to figure out where the past and the present kind of intersect. You got this cool little thing with the Charmings and their grandson.
Yeah, and it was actually very cute how the Charmings were frustrated that they were...
They're not
noted
fun.
As boring.
Yeah.
So they just made it their mission, at least in this episode, to have Henry think that they're fun. And that's what happens.
And Regina's reaction, you let him drive? That was hysterical.
Because as mayor, I can't let an underage driver on the streets.
And then, who said it? Charming's like, well.
David said it. Well, you should probably use your mayoral power to fix a mailbox or something.
That was really funny.
City money.
That's city money. That's what it was.
Taxpayers' dollars goes to the mailbox.
So that was a lighthearted moment there, the driving lesson and their goal to have Henry enjoy their time all together. And then you see them all dining out as a family at the coffee place.
And Killian respectfully declines.
Respectfully declines, but because he finds that telescope, he decides to go off into an
He's like a block away, just like... I have to stare at her one last time.
Into the alleyway.
Into the alleyway. He pulled out his telescope.
Not shady whatsoever.
And there's nobody like down the street just going like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly.
What are you looking at?
It's Storybrooke.
Yeah.
You know.
There's somebody walking the streets. No, everybody's at Granny's.
So he has a telescope and he is staring through his telescope at Emma's actions and just Emma too.
Do the creep. Oh.
And that is how the show ends for the evening. Thoughts overall, guys?
Overall, it was a fun episode. I mean, we met Blackbeard because we knew that he was coming.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just kind of a little bit upset they didn't really utilize him as much as we would have liked. But I know with everything going on with Ariel and whatnot, that he only had a few moments on screen. I just wish that... I go back to, we're probably going to see him again in the future, so hopefully the next time you see him, it'll be for something bigger.
Yeah.
I agree.
It was
fun. We like I said earlier, I would like to see another, like, legitimate look at the 9 months, at something the year that only Hook remembers with a different character, mm-hmm. a real character this time, as opposed to that switch, which was nice, but I doubt we'll get it just because it was a good format. Mm-hmm. We got to see enough progress here, then we saw some stuff progress here, and then it was nice. It was really nice. But the C story of the Charmings trying to be fun was fun. It was indeed that, and kinda grown worthy, but the good kind of grown worthy. And stuff's about to get even more real.
Yeah,
and I also love the sweet moment that we had with Regina and Emma throughout this whole episode. Mm-hmm. I believe people are now shipping them together.
Oh, they've been like Regemma, dude.
Yeah,
Swan.
Regemma, so, nice.
Yeah, Regemma. But I did like them finally working together and using their powers for good. And them. So if we see more of their training, that I think it's going to be them two, and this might get into predictions territory, but I think it's going to be them two going against Selena.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the plan.
I really like those two together. That's all I was going to say, was Regina and Emma, bomb.com. I also really find Selena, especially after this episode, it just put the nail in the coffin. She is a really scary villain.
Mm.
She's a great one. Now that
she had crazy eyes.
Crazy eyes. Great. Great actress. My goodness.
Well, you didn't even have to listen to her. If you just looked at her eyes,
yep.
you would know that her intentions were bad.
Yeah, the entire time. And the way she spoke, like she was full of wickedness and depravity. Yep. And just that
and
the
lengths.
Yeah, and the lengths that she would go to like take down everyone in Storybrooke and to enact this curse that she's starting, it just shows like how really wicked she is.
Yeah, so I really like that about that. And there's also, I'm not a Hook and Swan person, but that's developing and I'm starting to be okay with it, because at first I wasn't quite sure that Hook really cared about her. I thought, oh, it's a competition, he has ulterior motives, whatever. But after this episode, you really feel, man, he really loves this woman. He really likes her. Like, pretty much his whole life in present day has been to protect her or help her protect her family. And that's why the choice that he has moving forward is going to be so difficult.
And seeing how he had to give up the thing that he loved so much, which was the sea and the Jolly Roger, yep. Sort of you see that an additional sacrifice that he's had to make in order to just be happy. And now he's got another roadblock in the form of the curse. But that same way that we saw Killian kind of reach that moment of, I will do anything for this woman, I think I would like to see more of Selena's past in the future, because we see how vindictive she is now and just how dripping with venom she is. But of what we've seen so far, I'd just like to see a little bit more of why.
Yeah.
Because you're just kind of like, I don't like her. I won't go back, so she doesn't exist. It's like the way she enacts what she wants is huge and just pure evil and very fun to watch. But I want to see something else that pushed her in that direction.
I agree. Well said. Yeah. All right, guys, let's move on to some news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So, Chiana, our news and gossip girl, is not here. So, our gossip girl for the night is Marissa.
What's up? Yeah, well, we know that Jennifer Goodwin and Josh Dallas were engaged, but now they're officially married.
Congratulations!
Yeah, very much so.
They got married today in Los Angeles at around 5:36 p.m. Pacific time on Saturday, actually. And then you know, they just had it was a small intimate gathering of like 30 friends and family at sunset. So now they are officially married.
That's so cute.
They're officially charmings. Where's their castle? Disney should just give them one of the castles at one of the parks. They go so often.
Did you have a telescope watching them at the wedding?
I can neither confirm nor deny that I was there in any shape or form with a looking glass.
Anything else going on?
Snow White and Prince Charming are now real.
That's true.
They're a fish.
That's a fish.
Yeah,
look
a fish.
At that.
They're definitely a fish.
Wow. Who's a gossip? A fish.
I don't know if Tiana discussed this, but it might be a little bit spoiler alert for those who don't know.
Okay.
The last episode of Once Upon a Time for this season is titled. I'm completely blanking. Sorry, I'm doing a million things.
Yeah,
no worries.
Ones and twos is cool.
It's about Wizard of Oz, and there's no place like home. That's
there's no place like home.
Yeah,
that could be anything.
Yeah, I'm curious to know which we'll move on to predictions. What's going to happen with Selena?
And now your AfterBuzz TV prediction.
Because as dark as Selena may be, just like Rumpel became somewhat good and Regina became somewhat good, Selena might have a chance to become good if she can snap out of her jealousy and her anger and her resentment and all that stuff.
And that's part of the background that I want to see, because over the seasons we've seen a lot of Regina being forced into her role as the evil queen, quote unquote forced, still a choice, but we saw a little bit with the shaving scene with her father of that girl who's just kind of looking for love and immediately shuns it. So it just like with everybody else, we just need time to see her. And she's too good of an actress to kind of just let, okay, your arc's over. Same thing with Peter Pan which is unfortunate, but just more. And aren't we supposed to see Dorothy this season too?
I knew
she was cast.
Oh, well, if she's cast, then we're probably going to see her soon, especially if there's no place like home titled. That sounds about right. But
another pair of shoes, maybe?
Yeah, for sure.
Help get back to a realm or two.
Any other predictions? I'm trying to think.
Well, we see in next week's episode the preview that they're going back in time, and we also see Rose McGowan come back as the young Cora, because they had to go to Cora to find out more of the backstory of Selena.
And why she gave her up.
Yeah. Yep.
So who's the daddy?
That'll be fun to watch.
Watch is Rumple.
Yeah, he really is the daddy.
Like that, I don't think it's impossible.
You never know.
Yeah, and the fact that she has so much magical power, and a little bit more so than Regina, having two magical parents could help be that enhancing figure. And Green Crocodile, you could put whatever you want together, really. That's what the writers do.
They will make it work.
Yeah, they usually do.
Whatever happens,
hopefully it's just not another reveal like the Wizard one.
So we have what, like four more episodes left before May 11th, which is the season finale. So four episodes to have things coming. The last episode is going to be a 2-hour one, which is going to be good. And I guess that's
there's a lot
crazy ish is going down.
Heck yeah.
Crazy
hopefully,
books.
I hope Rumpel, and I'm going to use this as a prediction because this is what I want. I want Rumpel to break free and just wreak havoc on her.
Someone's gonna get that dagger.
Yeah, someone's gonna get that dagger. That's a good one to say. And that about wraps up this episode of the AfterBuzz TV's Once Upon a Time. Thanks for tuning in. But in the meantime, you can keep the conversation going. Again, going to YouTube, iTunes, drop some comments. In the meantime, also, where can we find you?
You can find me at twitter.com/soapboxmark. I'm usually on the Thursday WWE NXT after show. And if you ever were a wrestling fan, it's post-WrestleMania season. Now is the perfect time to get back into it.
That's very, very true. A lot of new things, a lot of resetting.
Mm-hmm.
So... Marissa.
You can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at SerafiniTV.
And you can find me at KAORIOUS on Instagram as well as Twitter. And we will catch everyone next week. Bye.
Executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff. We would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.